You're listening to the RF Eating Into the Microphone podcast.
Sorry.
Live from New York. It's Quesadillas Live.
Yeah, what's a trip to New York without just randomly grabbing street food from a sign that just says hot food?
Yeah.
No advertisement. Nothing.
What extra thing do you need? Do you need a sign spinner?
I mean, our earlier attempt to find breakfast this morning involved us looking through Google Maps and attempting to find a restaurant through the number of reviews that it got. So it was a significantly more involved of a process than walking down the...
Well, why bother like having a nice place when you can just have an aluminum box and an LED light? RF will come to it like a moth to the flame.
It's a damn... I gotta tell you, man...
Is it worth the 45 minutes that it took for us to get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember 1 minute ago when you said you weren't going to eat in front of the microphone?
Sorry.
Let me just stuff a few more 1,000 pounds of quesadilla into my face real quick.
It definitely was... I don't know whether it was worth the 45-minute wait if you didn't eat. Which you very kindly sort of sat there while I didn't eat.
I had a few Doritos while I was waiting.
I feel like...
spicy nacho Doritos is basically... it's a version of what you got.
Yeah,
it's... Mexican cuisine.
You were contributing to the culture. Yeah. Do you think that eating Doritos is sort of... It is to Mexican food or to South American food what Shakira is to South American music, I think.
Yeah, she's always playing her accordion.
I mean, yeah, John and I, we had a fun walk back, and
you can hear some motorcycles revving.
Yeah, my ride's here, guys. It's an old...
It is after 2 a.m.
It's an old New Brunswick joke, right? My ride's here. People like to say that.
Well,
people
they say that when the police come.
Is that a...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because
the sirens
heard...
come. Oh, my ride's here.
Oh, I always... Oh, because the people I did it were... Okay, so they were doing new twists on an old joke, I think. You know?
The new twist doesn't make as much sense as the siren one, I gotta say. You gotta stick with the classic.
Yeah. I always thought that the motorcycle thing was... Because it made you look cool rather than a loser.
Well, no. If your ride was here and it was a motorcycle revving, that means you're just going to climb on with that guy and wrap your arms around his waist.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Daddy's here.
Oh, yeah. Ride is here. That means the driver is your chauffeur.
We're just going to attach our belts together for safety.
I just put my head gingerly across his wide back. Yeah. My ride's here, guys. My chauffeur... Who's riding my Harley Davidson? But yeah, John and I were saying that there's...
Yeah, Arif's wearing a t-shirt right now that says, if you can read this, the bitch fell off.
But only I'm wearing it in the front, not in the back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even make any sense to the girl... Is supposed to have been... I think these are all adding to...
If we want to have a new twist that makes less sense and follow that theme, I think I need to make up some that have that printed on the front and you wear it out to like the dance club and it says, if you can't read this, the bitch fell on.
I think you should have that saying, if you can read this, the bitch fell off.
It's trademarked right now. I'm going to mail this podcast.
But you should have it on the bottom of the on the ass of the pants. Like, you know how they used to have those juicy...
Tramp stamp.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a tramp stamp that men should get. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. Wait, 1 second. So she was fucking you in the ass, correct?
Yeah. You know, I just...
And then she fell.
There's too much recoil on the strap-on, and she's gone now.
Yeah. I was having anal sex with a man who fell off.
He was supporting his entire weight on his penis inside of me.
Man. So yeah, in the 2 days we've... So go on.
Skankfest day two. I'm not nearly as sore as I was yesterday. A little bit in the feet, but the knees and the back are okay.
Yeah. I'm not too bad either.
Yeah.
I think we got some good seats.
Yeah, RF is a sneaky little devil. Been stealing us good seats that didn't require waiting in a very long line. Do you want to take us through your process?
No.
Or is this a trade secret? Let's do a pay-per-view and you can say how to get seats at the 12-hour long comedy show.
Yeah, I'll do you a favor. How about all of your listeners pay you at least a minimum of $35 for each episode, for each minute of my trade secrets of how to get in to a Skankfest show mm-hmm. without having to wait in line. So here's the first thing that you need to do. Number one, be an immigrant and pretend you're very confused and clueless and you don't know how to, you're very upset at it.
It works because they'll buy that you're, you know, not as smart as, one of the good races.
Correct.
But also they don't want to be like, I say something like everybody thinks that this is a racist thing anyway.
You have to method act your way into this. So here's the most important part. If you really want to know, you have to be at least 38 years old and have used a cell phone, mm-hmm. and have to look at your cell phone like it is a true annoyance. Like you have to really feel as though you are unsure about this thing that you are having in your hands, and you are unsure about all of these texts and what to do. Some of the time you have to actually lie, but yeah, then you have to summon them.
Excuse me, sir, there's a line. I don't understand this phone. These phones are crazy, right?
People didn't even talk to me. I think I had such an aura of discomfort and depression sort of hanging around me that no one even bothered sort of looking in my direction. No one said anything.
Yeah.
But I constantly looked at this phone like it was upsetting me. And some of the time it was, but most of the time I was standing around a pillar, mostly looking at a phone that was turned off.
Just to make sure it stayed off.
Turn it off, and then turn airplane mode on, turn it off, and then just keep pressing buttons, and then look around to see if there's a signal inside.
Does your battery get below 75% yet?
Today? It got below 61%, mainly because of the...
You're living life on the edge. Let's see what my phone's at. This is intriguing radio. We're down to 44%. That's not bad.
Mine only went down because of a whole bunch of incidents that happened back to back.
Take us through your battery. What is the unit of battery power?
Bar?
Take us through every amp. Ampere,
oh, ampere.
Of electricity.
Yes. At 84%, while we were standing in line, what was the first show that we went to?
Bonfire.
The Bonfire. Yeah. Oh, well, actually, before the Bonfire, we should talk about our breakfast that... I mean, I went from into a complete rage.
What were you enraged about?
Mostly the walk and the heat, and I was very thirsty, and I was about ready to just be.
The walk was less than the wait for the quesadilla.
Yeah, yeah, but it was first thing in the morning, and I hadn't eaten.
Fair enough.
So.
Yeah, I could kind of tell we were going like, all right, let's take a minute. Let's find a good place to eat instead of just looking up at the nearest LED sign and that's in our field of vision. And I was like, that's a 20-minute walk. Is it good? We walked for literally 3 minutes and see a lineup of people. Is this it? This must be the one. There's a line of hipsters waiting for it. This feels like it's been 20 minutes.
Yeah,
we walked 3 blocks.
Of course, yeah. That's how hungry I get. Where is the... I call my attempt to find a place to eat crowd work, all right? I don't do this...
We got to accidentally walk through the park.
Yes. And we saw some jumbo yum-yums.
Yeah.
Some fat titties of some ladies. Some people playing squash. And with a tennis ball, which is a real old school... That's That's how I learned to play both tennis and squash when I was a poor Indian child in the ghetto of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So it brought back some memories.
Right.
Beautiful day in the park.
Yeah. And it was the restaurant that we that Google pointed us to. I think it was worth the 20-minute walk.
Yes, it was. But initially when I walked in, I thought, oh, this is some gentrified horse shit. And just like that, there was a breeze that came in through the door, and our waiter or our server was this beautiful, beautiful man who looked me in the eyes.
Well, first they were like, well, you can wait 10 or 15 minutes, or you can just sit here right now. We're like, well, we'll sit here right now.
Obviously sit there, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess the 15-minute wait would have been for an actual table. As we sat at the bar.
I think we got a better deal from sitting at the bar. Because
I don't need to wait to sit on some shitty wobbly table.
We got the wind right on our back.
Yeah, we got to see that small child completely take his pants all the way down to the ankles and pee on a tree right in front of us.
I mean, New York City is a beautiful city, the best city in the world. But
encouraged
it really
by his mother,
really has a bathroom problem. Apparently, this is a real problem. Where
I know they don't want hobos coming into their fancy restaurants to shoot heroin, but now we've got bare-ass children peeing in front of the window.
Now you're making... I mean, this is true equality when you make rich people pee like
That's the gentrification. You just remove a homeless minority and replace it with a pantsless white child.
Just peeing on
somebody has to be peeing. It's a rule.
Beautiful summer day,
but
helped by his mom.
Whoever you're going
dress.
To see peeing on a tree in front of you while you're eating breakfast, I guess a little kid is probably
I think
the
better.
Least objectionable.
Better. Just a full-grown man yanking out his soft white blood-red penis and peeing into the wind.
Yeah. So we ate and then...
what did we have? What was that?
Shakshuka.
Shakshuka. It was an Israeli restaurant or a Jewish... Yeah, it must have been an Israeli restaurant. I mean, that restaurant turned me like a crowd who... I was a crowd that was willing... I was ready to boo.
The menu was a cute little storybook.
Yeah, it was.
Should have taken pictures of that.
Oh, damn it. You didn't take pictures?
No.
I was about to boo... The restaurant, I was... And then...
I've always said you're a closed-minded Arif. You need to be worldly.
I really found it. I really found that I was becoming closed-minded. And then somehow a breeze and a beautiful 50s song and my handsome waiter, mm-hmm. who just seemed like as though...
old-timey refrigerator. It was firing on all cylinders.
What's that?
The old-timey refrigerator.
Yes, the old-timey refrigerator in the back. I said, how is this happening? That how am I in love with you? This must be what, like, you know, women who have these relationships with these, you know, men who they know are toxic. But on a nice day...
We both asked for one of the postcards that came with the receipt for a nice souvenir.
God, man. I love a good arm around the... You know, when someone is taking your order, just they put the arm. If they put the arm on the back of the chair, I'm in. I can't resist. Man or woman.
I've never noticed.
That's what he did, and then he's like, coffee? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
But then I was still a little bit in a rage because
They didn't serve steamed, they didn't serve boiled bananas.
No, yeah, they didn't serve... They didn't serve semi-boiled, flavorless bananas.
Stiff, bland bananas.
Yeah. But yeah, I was still in a rage because my coffee came, and what did the waitress say? She tried to shame me.
No, she didn't. She said, which one of you has the hot coffee?
Yeah.
And I said, it's that one. I had the cold coffee.
Oh. No, she had the cold Americano.
Yeah.
I thought that she was trying to shame me for having a hot drink on a hot day.
No, she had two drinks and two people.
No,
and,
I agree. I'm in the wrong here.
She didn't want to racially profile us.
I'm in the wrong here.
But, like, if... somebody's just got a plain old hot coffee and somebody's got an iced Americano, the iced Americano is probably the white guy.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, lovely meal. Then we went to Skankfest. This was an even better day than yesterday.
I mean,
by a long shot.
Yeah, for
yesterday
sure.
Yesterday was good, but this was a whole other level.
We start off the day meeting Big J and Dan Soder, Tony Hinchcliffe, and
Justin Silver. It was meeting. A cattle line. We were just on a conveyor belt, shaking hands.
I was attempting to be funny with them, but it was mostly sort of...
RF wanted to have a 15-minute long conversation about the mechanics of joke writing with each individual.
Yes, exactly. And they just sort of ushered me off the stage. They just said, this is embarrassing to you and everyone else involved. Please leave. And then I forgot to take a picture.
I am always uncomfortable. I don't know what to say to famous people. Or, well, I wouldn't call them famous, I guess. They were the most famous people of all of the crowd that was there. But I was just like, yeah, I'm with that guy, but I'm not as long-winded. And I shook my hands and got my pictures, moved it along.
Big J and Dan were very nice. Dan is... I mean, I said something to him about an impression that he does, and he... I don't know, it was probably a fake laugh, and I told, because Jay, we were listening to Jay talk about how much he hates Springsteen, which, if it was anyone else, I would be in a sort of blind rage about how, because some of his positions that he takes with Springsteen, I get you not liking Springsteen, but things like Bryan Adams is better than Springsteen.
Yeah, I don't like Springsteen. Bon Jovi. Either, but Bryan Adams, I like even less.
Bon Jovi is better than Springsteen. I mean, I've never been this conflicted about a human being because I love Jay so much. But, anyway, I told him that maybe. Did you ever think about Born to Run as perhaps a story about immigration? And maybe you're xenophobic. And then I expected him to laugh at that, but I don't think. It really went over well. I think it came off more serious than I intended. And anyway, we watched a live taping of The Bonfire.
Yeah, that was that was pretty great. What was the what was the middle thing that we saw? We should probably have a schedule.
The Bonfire?
Yeah. What was
didn't
after?
Watch. We just went. We went to the meet and greet, and then we watched The Bonfire.
Yeah. No, what happened after The Bonfire?
What happened after The Bonfire? Are you forgetting The Unmasked?
Oh, right, yeah, I did. Okay, yeah. So that was the next thing. We saw the Unmasked with Ron Bennington, a long-form interview of Dave Attell. We were in the second row, spitting distance.
Yes, yes. Dave Attell is, is funny and very interesting. And I mean, I imagine everyone will hear it, but there's something about Attell that... everyone in the audience seems like as they're telling him, you're one of the greats, you're right up there, and it must be in him, because I feel that as well, like it is just almost embarrassing and humiliating to be
told. RF's just walking down the street constantly today in Brooklyn, and people kept trying to hey, RF Hussein, you are one of the greats.
No, to be gave in a compliment is what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, usually people always say that to me. They say, you're one of the great terrorist minds of...
You know, it's how I felt yesterday when I got, three independent t-shirt compliments throughout the day.
Yes, yeah.
None today. One guy today said, I have that shirt. That was the closest I got today.
You have to give a description of the kinds of the kinds of people that gave you these compliments. Number one, cute Asian chick at the front.
Yeah, when
that's
we were checking in, getting our badges.
Then it was downhill after
the
that.
The second one was...
curly mustache.
Was it Curly Mouth? The guy on the street that tried to...
Yeah,
lure,
he just pointed you, pointed
well,
at
he
you.
Let us walk by, and then he's like, oh man, we've been trying to sell that $80 copy of Fulci's Zombie for 5 years now. This guy is wearing the shirt. He's going to buy it. So then he turns around and starts talking about the shirt, and then he gets in the sales pitch. Hey, come to my secondhand store, and we, you know, it's $80, but it can be negotiated. I'm like, yeah, I'll totally check that out. I already have the DVD, so we didn't go back. Third one was the black guy at the crosswalk.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, always bald in the front with a pick in the back.
What do you mean a pick in the back?
You didn't see his hair pick in the back?
Oh,
stuck to the back of his hair.
Afro pick.
His afro pick in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he just walked across the street.
Getting complimented by a guy with an afro pick is, like, probably the peak of my life up until that point.
Pretty much.
But today, I think, may have even overshadowed the compliment from the afro-picked man.
Yeah, the Unmasked with Dave Attell was fantastic. My favorite point was at the beginning where Dave Attell was contemplating whether or not he should smoke or not, and he's like, oh, we don't want to be kicked out, and then he just... 3/4 into the interview, just gingerly takes out his cigarettes.
Well, and I think then just it was when smoking. Ron Bennington just took out that cigar that he just fiddles with and doesn't smoke.
No. And so Dave Attell, like, you know, this is what people did with, like, how, you know, how when you're around people with phones, it takes is just one person to take, if you're at dinner, one person to take out the phone, and then it gives the other person the liberty to take out their phones as well. I think
everybody's just jacking off to internet porn on their phones all of a sudden. That's the whole party.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean is that they, like, other people...
No, I know. That's what happens. We go, you've never been to a phone circle jerk?
That's what I meant. But that's what I see anyway. And so,
yeah, no, you're right.
And the cigarettes. Maybe he took the thing. But anyway...
I enjoyed the cane that folded into a stool, and I think I will get one for myself.
That was a good
bit.
That's
kind of perfect.
That was a good bit.
Well, I think he actually did hurt. Somebody made a joke last night.
He did hurt his back, yeah.
Hurting his back for carrying Jeff Ross in a Netflix special.
Yeah, he did hurt his back. I know that for sure. And what else? Oh, yeah. Then he... after that, we watched...
Yeah, we watched our first stand-up show of the day. Lewis had a good set. It was like
Lewis J. Gomez. Yeah,
I liked his special, but I don't know, something today. He was acting as if he didn't have anything. He was just fucking around, but I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was very good for someone who had just said that he has just one joke.
He has 4 minutes worth.
Four minutes worth, but he filled 20 minutes worth of just fucking around.
Threw that guy's phone across the room.
That is hilarious, dude. Hilarious. That's the funniest thing. He said, give me your phone. And the guy just gave his phone to him. And then he just threw it. Amazing.
And then when the guy got up to go get his phone, he left like a bottle. He left a pint of like rum on his chair. And Lewis was like, this fucking asshole. Left a pint of booze that he... Or he wouldn't have said pint. Whatever, he left a bottle of booze that he smuggled in, and then he just picked that up and gave it to somebody else.
And then someone took his chair, and then someone took the guy's seat. Man, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that whole show was good, but should we cut right to the...
We watched...
Justin Silver was hosting, and he said... you know, just so you guys, you know, you should just don't take out your cell phones. A lot of people were working on stuff for TV, and, you know, it kind of ruins it. So, anyway, crazy stuff happens. Louis C.K., everybody.
Yeah.
And Louis came out, and I cried immediately. I don't know. It's just not like a sobbing cry, but, you know. All of the wokeness leaked out of my eyeballs a little bit.
The poison was coming out. That's what...
Despite myself, I'm like, oh, well, here it is. We don't need to get into the specifics of it, but just really, really good. Probably the best stand-up set that I've ever seen live, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing really, I mean, all you can say, and you feel stupid, I feel stupid about sort of even saying things like, I was giddy, and the room was...
Yeah, but before this show, you were super butthurt that your eyes were closed in your Dave Adele picture.
Yes.
So, I assume, canceled that out.
Yes, yes. I guess I took a picture with Dave Adele. There's a story attached to this, but anyway, maybe we'll leave that for a different time. But, yes, the highlight was definitely... That was one of the highlights. I say that is definitely the stand-up highlight.
Yeah, like, for me. Just huge roar of applause and standing ovation, like, before he even said anything, and just destroyed throughout the set. And then Michael Che still managed to follow him and do great also.
Yeah, Michael Che followed Louis C.K. and destroyed as well. Yeah. And then everyone else after that destroyed.
Yeah, well, throughout the night... that was earlier. I was going to say throughout the night it got less and less. I meant the last show that we... that was at the end of the night.
People were fading after Jessica Pearson. Yeah, Nate Bargatze, he was there. He closed out that show.
Yeah, it was Michael Che and then Nate Bargatze,
Yeah, Michael Che and then Nate Bargatze. I mean, all of them. But... it seems a shame to, you can't even really rate it because there's no rating.
And the last show of the night, I don't know if it just wasn't as good or if it just suffered by comparison. I don't know. The last Big J, I think, was and Nate, when he came back up again in the last show of the night that we were at, everybody else was kind of so-so.
No, I love Dan Soder. I love Jessica.
Yeah, Dan was good.
Jessica Kearson, she was fantastic. She's fantastic. I loved her. But, you know, it's and then I got to witness a fight between two comedians and then made an ass of myself in the midst of it.
Tell us the story.
Well, as we were, maybe we'll close out on this. As I was attempting to get a seat for our final show, just looking at my phone, I caught a glimpse just at the corner of my eye of Michael Che and Kurt Metzger having a conversation. So in my head, I thought, maybe I'll just go up to them and ask, you know, just say something witty and perhaps... you know, wow them with some sort of ethnic humor, you know, maybe do some bits at them. And just then, there was a screaming between two comics. One's a female writer from The Daily Show, and the other is a black comic called Jimmy Martinez. Now, it's not important in general that they're black, it's just important to the story. Now, these people are screaming at each other. These are very good comics screaming at each other. And for some reason, Michael Che is pulled into the center of it. Michael Che jumps into the center of it and he is trying to get Jimmy Martinez to stop screaming at this lady. And just then, at that point, I thought, because Kurt Metzger was right next to me at the time, I put my hand on his shoulder just to attempt to get his attention because he seemed very concerned. And I thought maybe a good way to break the tension would be to sort of reference some of his own material. But I wasn't thinking about the situation. So I said, Kurt, I love your joke about the N-word. And then Kurt just looked at me and I thought, you know, in my head it's like, oh, you know, here's where we would have a talk about, you know, the intricacies of joke writing. And instead he just had, this is the greatest interaction that I've ever had with a comic, he just looked at me and he screamed, "Now is not the time!" And you know, he wasn't wrong. It was definitely the wrong time, and I can just say I am never attempting to take another picture with a comedian ever again.
You can take a picture. I don't know why you you feel compelled to, like, win them over somehow. Like,
I don't know.
We're in line and we're doing a quick handshake and a picture. Hey, can you guys want to listen to my tight three?
No, I just thought I would say something personal so that they would, that's something, so it doesn't feel like as though they're, you know, carnival animals, you know? Then they're not just, they're not just cardboard cutouts, you know, that you would see at the fair that you would just put your hands through and put your face, like, because I don't know, maybe I feel guilty about, and, you know, after my interaction with, got my picture taken with Attell, you know, I will for sure never ever do it again. I mean,
get picture, I just never. Say, I like your stuff, good set last
I
night.
I attempted
handshake,
to say that.
Take a picture,
I attempted to say that, but Attell is, you know, Dan Soder described him as sort of a very nervous cat. You have to approach it very, very gingerly, and most
just
people
pet his beard a little bit first before you say a word.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, your Dave Attell's demeanor is like, you know, I imagine at one, it's like, it was probably like your dad's cat, you know?
Yeah.
It was nice and loving at one point, and then it just, out of neglect and abuse, it just, now it's just swats at people. And you can totally understand it now that I think about it. I agree.
Yeah,
that cat treated me like Dave Attell did, and I deserve it.
So, a successful day two of Skankfest. Lots of great stuff, lots of highlights. Louis C.K. is near the top, but, you know, there is also the guy that handed me the joint in line, who was also wearing a parody Ren and Stimpy t-shirt. We never said anything about it. Yeah. Not the same one that I have, but it was something else where it, like, was them redesigned to be something else. We never commented on it, though.
You just left it unsaid.
Yeah, for sure. I just left that for something else. He lit up a joint, and I was like, can I bum a puff off that? And then he's like, yeah, sure. And then I played the old, yeah, I had to cross the border, so I didn't have any of my own. And then we smoked a bit, and then I inquired about city living. He was telling me he lives in, like, Long Island City, and I was trying to get a feel for, like, what's an average apartment go for. And he said, like, he's paying, like, $1,800. And I was like, in St. John, New Brunswick, like, a $1,200 a month apartment would be, like, a baller apartement, I think. Although I haven't had an apartment. Is that about right? You still have an apartment.
Probably.
Yeah. I haven't lived uptown in
probably
10 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Probably.
And talking about that, and just, like, he has, like, a 45-minute, or no, like, an hour and a half commute to work. And
Where does he work?
I don't know, somewhere, and I didn't get into too many details.
Manhattan?
But, yeah, I don't know. But he's, like, and, yeah, and his, like, $1,800 apartment probably wasn't great. Like, I don't know, what do you think this apartment? This apartment that we're in
right
now.
This isn't an apartment, man. This is an attic of a house.
Yeah, somebody would probably pay, I'm going to say, at least $1,500 a month for this. I don't know.
Probably. You're probably right. You're probably right. This is New York City, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, got to smoke some weed, and that's the big takeaway from
tonight. You got to see Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson out in the wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
While I was eating Doritos. Just standing on a street corner eating spicy nacho Doritos. Hey! I listened to, guys, we fucked. spitting Doritos out of my mouth a little bit. I did not interact with them, for the record.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably...
Even without the Doritos, I didn't know what to say.
That would be, I mean, definitely don't, if I've learned anything, don't try to be personable and funny. I think you just be sincere.
I should have accosted them and be like, hey, remember that guy you fucked? I really liked that.
Attempting to be even sincere has to be, like, you have to do it in a different way.
This isn't the beginning of a relationship. It's a quick hello and a picture. That's all it's got to be.
But I think that the picture feels, you know, it's the picture part that is...
Well, think about it as they're churning through hundreds of... of comedy fans every time that there's a show, and you're probably like the 5% that just gums up the process and kind of slows down the conveyor belt and wants to make a connection. I think that might be worse than the indignity of just taking a picture. I don't think it's softening.
John is the only person you can tell a story to, and he can, rather than make you provide consolation, make you attempt to really make you feel worse.
No,
you really
I don't
have
want
that uncanny ability.
I think the interaction
I think you're right.
Getting yelled at by Kurt Metzger is the best possible scenario to your approach.
I think so. You're not wrong. I think you're right. I think that's the
opposite end of the spectrum of that. If there wasn't currently a fight happening within arm reach,
yeah,
would have been, yeah, man. Okay.
Yeah. God, there was no way.
It is possible to have the conversation. We talked briefly to Justin Silver at the Bonfire thing, and I don't know. I said something about being from New Brunswick and that it's great being there. Nobody comes any further in Canada than Montreal. And he's like, no, man, we just played Edmonton. I'm like, that's not what I meant.
It's a different part, dude, but never mind.
Yeah,
it's
wrong
pretty
direction,
much the same,
but you know.
We get it. That's fine. Just
there are four of them. It's hard to remember how that all works.
Yeah, it's just typical, like, St. John, low self-esteem. Yeah, it's all right, man. Edmonton, it's a common mistake.
I wish I didn't have to go back there.
You live in Edmonton? Sure, man. Yeah, I live next to Edmonton.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I think I'm going to move to Edmonton next week. So I'll check you next time that you come through.
Cool, man.
It's like an hour away from where I live. All right, let's wrap it up. It's time for sleep.
Yeah.
All right, one more day of Skankfest.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Chew some more into the microphone before we go. Get right in there. Bring it in. There we go. All right.